The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 21st day of August, 2012. Quick look at the numbers. Dow down 5 points on the session. S&P up 2. Comp up 4. Gold up $17. Crude up $1.12 a barrel. And the S&P intraday, today, has touched the highest price since May 19th of 2008. Quick math, that's 4.5 years, roughly, that it's taken us to do the nosedive and come back. Now, the interesting thing is that we are, well, now we've come off of that high pretty good. We tagged 14 and a quarter in the live trading room on the S&P 500 E-mini futures, and I made the comment, you know, we're only 125 points away from the all-time highs before the world was turned on its head, before the bottom fell out, before life as we knew it ended. And now here we are. Things haven't gotten any better, but here we are. 125 points away from that all-time high. Does it make sense that, you know, first trip up we get rejected? Well, yeah. Sure. And on the hourly chart, a little bit of a bearish formation right there. We talked about that in the live trading room when the previous hour closed. I said, yeah, we should be due for some lower prices here. And we've gotten back to the 1418. Let's just walk through the week really quick. Sunday night, we put in a low down in our weekly zone, 1414. And then early Monday, pre-market, we rallied up to 1418. We got a zone there at 1819. And then, end of the open, we sold off down to our 1410, 1411 weekly zone, which held a support. And then we bounced to the 1414, 1415 area, where we stayed for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 hours. Then as we headed into the London Open, in 1 hour, one candle here, we did the whole deal. After 14 hours of sideways motion in 1 hour, we went from 1415 all the way to the next zone, 3 points higher at 1418. It's almost comical, but it's just the reality of it. We pulled back into the MA1, which we always look for to give us support when it's blue and rising, just as we look for it to be resistance when it's red and falling. And took us up to new highs. We spiked above the 21-22 zone. We've come back to 14-18-19, which is currently holding as some kind of support. So that's kind of where we are. In other news, I don't know if you guys have heard this about the Army. I was going to bring this up yesterday. The Army has started to issue anti-suicide nasal spray to keep troops from taking their own lives. The military suicide rate doubled in July, which it's about one soldier a day. Now, the Army gave University of Indiana Research Center $3 million. They came back with an anti-suicide nasal spray. And there's a naturally occurring neurochemical called thyrotropin. It's a thyrotropin-releasing hormone, or TRH, that has euphoric, calming, antidepressant effects. News of the nasal spray comes as a relief to some who had to endure spinal taps for injections of the medicine. So apparently they already had the medicine. The $3 million that the Indiana University used it for was to turn it into a nasal spray, as opposed to having to take a spinal tap. Now, the Pentagon, which tracks military suicide, reported that troops have committed the act at an 18% increase over the same period last year. Currently, more troops die at their own hands than by the hands of the Taliban in Afghanistan. Now, the spray is possible because of advances in nanotechnology delivery systems. Researchers plan to run a full battery of trials over the next few years and hopefully put the spray not only in the hands of soldiers but civilians as well. Scientists say that applications go beyond antidepressant medications. All right, that's one side of the spectrum of I didn't know that. And now we'll leap to the other side. Of I didn't know that. Nike has come out with a new tennis shoe that will retail for $315. Now, I remember when we used to joke about the $100 tennis shoes, and it was like a running thing, and, you know, oh, pun intended, a running thing. What people talk about, you know, how people were getting mugged and robbed for their tennis shoes in the big city, places like New York and Chicago. and that there really were $100 tennis shoes, and people were astounded by that. And certain people would go, who in the world would buy their kid a $100 pair of tennis shoes? Well, pretty soon, the $100 tennis shoe became, I guess, rather commonplace. Nike's new LeBron X with Nike Plus will retail for $315 when it hits stores this fall, according to the Wall Street Journal. That's a big jump from the $170 price for LeBron's last shoe, the LeBron 9, that debuted last October. It's also more than the $250 that Nike charged for the special LeBron 9 PS Elites that were released for the start of the NBA playoffs. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, Nike attributes the price hike to rising labor costs in China and a jump in cotton prices. Oh, they're tennis shoes. Nike's basketball division saw a 17% increase in year-over-year revenue from May of 2011 to 2012. Nike footwear in North America saw a 15% increase in revenue over the same period. In addition to those increases, we've seen high-profile specialty shoes like the Air Yeezy 2s sell out in minutes despite their high sticker price. Basketball sneaker prices are up 9.4% across the board since this time last year. So it's only natural that Nike would test the $300 limit to see if the sneakerheads would still bite. So what do you actually get for $315 besides some overpriced cotton and some expensive Chinese labor? All right. You get the Nike Plus technology so you can track things like your vertical leap. It also includes the same hyperfuse construction of the LeBron 9s. And if you go online and just Google LeBron's new shoe, it's kind of flashy, kind of gaudy. I don't consider it an attractive shoe, but apparently there are a lot of people who will. It's got a red sole and a gold swoosh. And Okay, so soldiers are taking their lives and our kids are taking their own lives and our kids are, and probably adults, are buying $315 tennis shoes. And our market is approaching all-time highs. So, Michael, can you top that?
I don't know. That's going to be hard to top.
Come on.
You know, when we tried to go long this morning off those highs, unfortunately, it didn't work out. But, let's see. Robin wants to see a picture of those shoes.
I don't have them on the browser. Just go LeBron X tennis shoe. LeBron Nike X or Nike LeBron X. It'll bring you up the picture. Big news in the world of Facebook today. We saw price scurry up a little bit yesterday during the radio show, and then today it scampered right back down. One of the early investors, one of the directors, Peter Thiel, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, 8 years ago, he invested $500,000 in a little-known company called Facebook. Not a public company. A company started by some pretty smart college kids. But he wrote a check for $500,000 8 years ago. And he got a few shares. It wasn't a loan. It was an investment in the company. And he got a few shares. Yesterday, he decided to part with 21 million of his shares. And he got them off at about $19 a share. Interesting that price actually rallied yesterday. So you know, maybe Facebook had made some arrangements. They had, you know, some fund, some institution sitting on the bid to buy. Because that he sold 19 million shares yesterday. Now, some would go, well, you know, that's really a bad sign for Facebook because they're struggling. And here one of their directors, one of the early investors, he's bailing on them. Well, here's the deal. He wrote a check for $500,000 8 years ago. He's seen no return on his investment for 8 years. He sold 21 million shares, which at 20 bucks made him, what, Michael, 400 million? Is that correct?
Yeah, about 400 million.
400 yep. million, which is about a half a billion dollars, right?
It's just a little under it, but yeah, when you're talking in those terms.
All right, and
it would take 100 million.
Yeah, and he decided to hang on to 5.6 million shares. So he's feeling pretty good today. He's got 400 million. He's still a director, I think. So he still gets to help make decisions about the company. And he can sit on those 5 million shares till they rot because he's got $400 million to buy a beach house, get him, I don't know, a hammock or two, a couple fruity drinks with some umbrellas, lay on the beach. He can do whatever he wants. He's got $400 million. Now, this is from the one investment. I'm sure if he was able to write Facebook a check 8 years ago for $500,000, that's not the only investment he has. I'm sure he has others. So, the 5 million shares he has left, if Facebook goes to a dollar, which I don't expect it to do that at all, but if it did, he did really well. If over the course of the next 5, 10, 20 years, Facebook somehow manages to become the next Apple or Microsoft or even Google, then those 5 million shares will be worth a tidy sum of money. So congratulations to Peter Thiel. I don't know who you are. Don't know anything about you really. But good for you. You did well. Do you know who this guy is? I'm sure he's very famous.
I do not.
He's probably some high-profile individual, and everybody around the world's snickering going, oh, my God, how does this guy not know who Peter Thiel is? Well, I've heard the name, but all right. So that's about it for me. The market has sort of ground to a halt right here, it looks like, at 1418.
Yep, right at the zone.
I mean, looking at an hourly chart that looks extremely active, but I can tell you that this second hour, right up until the end of the hour, was a grueling sideways kind of a thing, and then all of a sudden it just slammed itself down. We'll see if this 1418 support's going to hold. If not,
Then the next one's, it's not too far down below. I was really hoping we were going to get a good breakout this morning on the top side because, well, that would have given us a winning trade for one thing and expanded the range. I wanted to see the range get expanded this week. I don't want to be stuck in these tight trading zones next week. All right, well, let me grab the charts.
All right.
And I will go over what happened this morning. Robin says he's the one that sponsored the 2020 scholarship for kids under 20 years old with innovative ideas.
Oh, okay. So that's the guy you were talking about yesterday. Okay. Very
right.
Good. So he's doing good stuff with his money.
August 21st.
Jerry thinks he should buy a pair of those LeBron shoes for every barefoot kid in Africa. It's a great idea.
Or or just a pair of shoes. They don't have to be the $300 LeBron ones.
Seriously, yeah, just a pair of shoes. Buy them from Tom, because if you buy one pair from Tom, he'll give a pair. Isn't it Tom's Shoes that does that? You buy a pair, I think it is. You buy one pair, and they give a pair to a child in Africa. I believe it's Tom.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, recap.
All right, recap. I got to start the recording here. All right. Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 21st, 2012. Again, no news events today, so we really don't have a whole lot to go over. But, you know, the markets were flat right up until the end of the morning session. Then they moved right back to where they started. The range of the day, I'll start with the ES, okay? The range of the day has been decent compared to yesterday. The high is up here, as you can see, 24.75, and the low is all the way down here at 16.75 for an 8-point range. The majority of that range was put in between 10.40, 10.39, and right now. So in the last hour. The first 2 hours had a move up right here, and then it went sideways for about 45 minutes. All right, so let's just go over these trades. We started the day right here. We got inside these weekly trading zones, okay? And I wasn't looking to take any trades because there were only 2 points in between the zones. An entry here would put me in here, which would have been too close to the next zone for me to take the trade, all right? I like to have 2 points between my entry and the next trading zone. That wouldn't have done it there, but if you did take the trade anyway, obviously it did give you 2 points. The next opportunity was once we broke up above here, we also broke up above the zone on the YM. These same type of zones, let me just show you. You see we had the same thing going on over here on the YM at the same time. You see? My cursor is global right here on these two markets, and right there and right there. So the YM and the ES were both having trouble with the zones this morning. Once we broke up above the zones, I took a long trade here on the first pullback down to the BBC. I drew in a trend line. I actually drew in the trend line over here, and I said if this trade triggers, we're going to have some work to do to get above that trend line. And it really did take a long time to finally close above that trend line. It closed above it over here, but by the time it closed above it, the MA1 had gone down below the BBC. It pulled all the way back up to our entry. Right there was an opportunity to get out of the trade at break even. I stayed in it, and I stopped out about 2 or 3 minutes later, right down here. Okay? From there, you can see the thing kept going down in that trend line that I drew in here. I drew that trend line way back here at 10:42. It's still holding. That trend line is still holding all the way down. That was our one trade on the ES, all right? So we got minus one trade on the ES. Now let's jump over here to the NQ, because that's where we had another trade this morning. Not that one. It was this one right here. All right, we took a break-even trade over there, but let's just go over what actually happened this morning. We didn't have any trades right in here. Right in here, we had a bullish cross, a pullback down test to the BBC with an up close, but the cycle was headed down, so I didn't take anything in there. I said I was going to wait for an A-grade trade, which means a trade that has everything going for it. You have your bullish cross of the BBC here. Price, the MA1 moves away from the BBC, and price pulls it back down. With the A-grade trade on the pullback down to the BBC, the MA1 would still be blue, and the cycle portion of the slingshot would still be blue and headed up. So that was an A-grade trade right there. I did take that long. It gave us 7 ticks profit. I moved my stop to break even, and it took me out of break even. All right, that's the trade that I took on the NQ this morning. We had a bearish cross in here, pull back up and test to the BBC. I missed this one. I was long on the ES when all this was happening, and I missed all this movement down here on the NQ. Now, on the NQ, while it was all moving down here, we didn't have a bunch of opportunities because of the divergence just on the pullback to the BBC, but we did have 3 momentum trade opportunities. For those of you guys who are partners who understand the momentum trade stuff that we went over in the partners meetings, there was one right here. You see it down here. There's one opportunity right there, another one right here, another one over here. Okay, those were the three momentum trade opportunities in that move down. I had stopped looking at it. I had stopped looking at it right here. This is where we closed up the morning session. But you can see it still kept going down. We didn't have... No, we didn't really have any more. There might have been one little momentum opportunity right here. But as far as divergences go, we didn't have any more opportunities there on the NQ. All right, that was all that I looked at on the NQ this morning. Here on the YM, let's see. On the YM, we have... I was watching it this morning. I mean, you could see we opened up right over here. Well, we opened up over here in between these zones, and it was struggling going up against the zone right up above it. And finally, once it got up above it, it was stuck in between them. It was working its way through. Right here is where we took the long trade on the ES. I didn't want to take the same trade, same direction on the YM because we were coming off of a multi-month, multi-year high. So I was just going to only risk it on one market at a time. And because we had this right here, we had a lower high put in. The YM did exactly the same thing as the ES did. It struggled for a while with it. It finally closed up above, and then it dropped down. Doing the same exact thing. And right now it's trying to pound through this weekly trading zone right below it. Just like the ES. Okay, the ES did get through it just a little bit, but not convincingly. Not yet. I did look at crude this morning, but I didn't trade any crude. Okay, let me scroll back here a little bit on the crude for you. To the open. Here's the open. Right in here, there was some bearish divergence down here on the bottom. Now, what we're looking for on the crude is a bearish cross of the MA1 below the BBC. Price to come back up, looking for some area of resistance, finding it at the BBC, testing the BBC by touching it, then closing down. Okay? When that happens, you want to have divergence here between the green line and the cycle portion of the slingshot. All right? So we got that. And that was one. Here was another one over here. You see the same thing happened. Bearish cross, test to the BBC, down close. Here was another one right here, but the cycle was moving up against it. Right in here was another one. Okay. You guys see this? Bearish cross, test to the BBC with a down close. Daily reminders. I don't know. You mean from GoToWebinar, Robin, right? You mean from GoToWebinar, the ones that are automatically sent out every day? I don't know. I don't know why they didn't get sent out. Because they are automatically sent out. We don't trigger that.
And sometimes they go out the day before.
And there was another one. And that was the close of the morning session right there, guys. Right now, it's trying to work its way down slowly right over here. Okay? Right there would have been the down close for the down move. Oh. Sorry. No, different Robin. Different Robin. We have two Robins in here. All right. That was the crude oil. So I didn't take any trades on the crude this morning. I'll show you the 6E just for argument's sake. Yeah, that's right, Bruce. You have to sign up. Robin, you know that. Yeah. Robin's been around long enough. He knows that. Let's see. The divergences weren't coordinated all that well with the moves up here on the 6E this morning. All right. There were a couple on the way down. There was one right there for a short. Over here for a possible long. Where were they? There was one other one right in here. All right, that's pretty much it on the 6E this morning. And that's pretty slow. Oh, not a ton of them. Yeah, I figured you did. You were in there yesterday, so you should have gotten something. But that is pretty much it, guys. I just don't have a ton to go over in the recaps right now because we just aren't getting any movement. The good thing is that we're not forcing a bunch of trades. We're just taking the ones that are actually there. You know, the setups aren't triggering a bunch of failing trades, you know, and they're not triggering much at all for that matter, but that's what you would want. All right. With that, I forgot to say, if you haven't taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Take the free trial. The results this morning, on the ES, we have minus one trade, which is 8 ticks. On anything else, we're flat everywhere else. And that's pretty much it. Okay. What level in the ES, if we were to close below, would get your attention for a reversal sign? If we were to close below for a reversal, well, let's look at a bigger picture here. I would think this level right here, for a total reversal, you mean a multi-month reversal, Jerry? Or a month, you know, multi-day, multi-month? I don't deal in those time frames. But,
Mike Reed just sent me an email, and he likes, he thinks that we saw a failed breakout today, and mm-hmm. he believes that sentiment is overly bullish, and that if we get a break and hold under 1416, that it'll keep us down for a while. Worst case, if we stay under 1420.
I would say, you know what, a strong move down below 1414. That's what I would say. Mike Reed said 1416. It's pretty close, within a couple of points. But I would say a strong move below 1414 would be a reversal area. But, I mean, I think right now, you know, the Dom, the way the Dom has been acting pretty much all morning, it's been pretty much even. All the way through all this stuff right here when we were in that trade this morning, you know, they were both sitting right around 23,000, 24,000, the bid and the ask. So that suggested that it was going to be really choppy. You know, we got this move down that stopped us out right here. But, you know, we went down here and now we're right back to chop. So in the bigger picture, if you were to stretch it out some more, this looks like retracement-wise an area where it could stop and move up. All right, let me just let me do this quickly. I'm still recording this, I think. But oops, let me do this. Drawing tools, and just for argument's sake, we'll do that right there. Now, this right here is 50% retracement of that move up. Okay, so if you're looking for that sort of thing, then this consolidation period right here, place right here, that's significant. And, you know, Mike Reed said below 1416, I think below 1414, and we'll see this 100% retracement down here. After we break that, well then, it's anybody's guess. But that is my thought on the whole thing. Alright. Alright, I don't see any more questions in the box. So, let me just scroll up and make sure. Yes, I don't see any more questions in the box, so I'm gonna stop the recording here, and then we can head out to Vegas.
Okie doke.
There we go.
That's what we'll do. Right. We're gonna pause for station identification. Don't go away. We'll be right back with David Williams from PageTrader.com and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
You think we don't need you now, we own your way. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Well, well, well. Is Robin with us today?
Why, she most certainly is. And let me open up her microphone.
Good morning, Robin.
Here we go. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Robin, how are
good
you
morning,
doing?
Good morning, Robin.
It's a great day in Las Vegas.
Good. It is a nice day in Las Vegas, actually. Our temperatures are coming down. And good morning, everyone out in the world of markets and trading and all of that stuff. So, Dwayne, any important news today with regard to the market's moves? Anything we can connect up if you, you know, not that we're necessarily needing to, but just out of the interest of seeing if there was some news that prompted the market higher here?
Well, we hit the highest intraday high on the S&P since May 19th of 2008, roughly 4.5 years ago. Other than that, no, that's about it.
Well, I'll tell you.
And that's no small thing, tagging a 4.5-year high.
I'm sorry? That's no small thing. No, there's no small thing at all. We've talked about this on the radio program in the last several weeks. There's nothing bearish about the market at all. People who are excited about shorting the market, I think, should be careful until they get further confirmation because there is nothing bearish here. I mean, you can look at indicators that will tell you that the VIX is very low or that, you know, the market's extremely overbought. Those are meaningful in the proper context, but even in the proper context, they're really not the highest probability setups in the box. They are much higher probability if the market was in a trading range in the time frame that you're looking at. But the market's trending higher here for the most part, looking at daily and weekly, these larger time frames. And I think it's wise to, you know, follow the trend rather than try to catch the end of it until there's more conclusive evidence that the trend has ended. So, you know, there you are. We had we've mentioned since a couple weeks back that we believe that the market needed to go up and test several levels on the upside, but the main one, there was two of them. First was 1416, which we did reach last week and had a pretty good reaction off of, and then the 1420 to 21 level that we talked about over the last couple of days, that really that level was due, you know, just purely on time last week, but they completed it this week, and I mentioned yesterday that I very much expect them to go up and complete that test this week, and then how they handle that test is going to be very important. Today in our support and resistance panel, everybody has a support and resistance, their own numbers. They did reach 1425, which is a level that is in the panel. Dwayne had that level a couple weeks back, or a week or so back, on the on his levels. For us, it's actually 1425/27. That level, that little range between 25 and 27 is pretty important, represents a couple of important completions. So now that we've done the bigger completion on the upside of the 1421 and spiking through it to the next level, that doesn't turn the trend down right now. What it does do is it puts us on notice to start watching for that sign during this week. If this week breaks out above, breaking out would be an actual close above the 1421 level. If we do break out above that, that would be, obviously, that would be the stronger position. So we want to be cautious of that. Still, a reaction may be in play after that because there's quite a few cycles that come together right up here, cycles, for lack of a better word, that come together up at 1421 with the completion of this price. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a multi-day reaction. But first, I think it's more important if you're interested in being, or if you have the belief that there is a larger reversal due for whatever reason, I think you'd be wise to wait a little bit later in the week and let the market show that this level is resistance, because you can get yourself into a lot of trouble by shorting the market and having it gap higher or whatever. It's been very, very, very comfortable in spite of the low volatility. And we have to be sure that we don't confuse low volatility and blame the fact that the market isn't moving either way. I mean, maybe I can put it this way. Low volatility is its own thing, but when low volatility occurs, it also shows that the market is very comfortable trading where it's trading. No one is, there's not a lot of fear, and there's not a lot of greed in the market at that point. This market has shown that kind of behavior, and you can't just write off low volatility independent of everything else. It's low volatility, but it also is holding price levels and remaining inside of a trend. So the trend is very important here. It still is up, but we are at a critical juncture on the upside, having completed this 1421 level. So that's our outlook. I do believe that either later this year or into next year, I know this is very large and very general, but I think we're going substantially higher. Even if we do have a reaction off of this completion, I think 1475 and so on that we've talked about is coming. I'm going to do some work this week and see if we can sort of solve that price level, considering where we are now, as to when it would arrive there. We haven't looked at that, but I do believe in general that we are going to arrive there. So that, and I've been saying this for a while, that is a bigger, larger target that we think is going to be completed before the ending of the larger trend. And that would include pullbacks and maybe some moderate ones, you know, ones that might pull us back down to, you know, somewhat below 1400 and that sort of thing. But either way, we believe that higher prices are coming. There are trades on both sides of the market between here and there, no doubt. But be careful, because this market, you know, Dwayne pointed out the other day that the movement between August 7th and maybe August 15th, he got this information from somewhere that was the smallest range in the last 63 years over an eight-day period. That's interesting. It's kind of remarkable. But it also shows the market's very, very comfortable trading up at these highs. There isn't a lot of fear, and there isn't a lot of people wanting to take profits. There's a lot of, you know, you could call it complacency, and people say, well, that's when tops are put in. I don't feel the same way about that right now, but I would like to caution people again to be careful with the market as it is on the, you know, be careful with the short side. And if the market shows its hand on the short side by starting to break critical levels, you know, Mike Reed had just mentioned a level important to him, Michael Bort, one to him. If it starts in breaking important levels, that's some early confirmation, and then we could do something with that. So we'll see how that plays out. But
I know that there's some data on prior to election highs and after election highs? I mean, is it going into the election that it's typically high?
Well, a lot of times, no, it's actually going into it. And a lot of times the market exhibits a kind of buy the rumor, sell the fact behavior coming into an election, which is that it's a known event and the market will rally into known events. That's not unusual. And elections are like that quite often, if you go back and take a look. I would, you know, that's a very general thing. I don't know that you could necessarily trade day by day off of that. But a person who's into equities and just buying stocks, he may very well want to follow something like that and just let the market move back and forth. You know, the author that came on that, Burton McKill, who wrote the book A Random Walk Down Wall Street, you know, his position I actually believe is correct when he says the average investor is going to do better holding index funds over trying to pick stocks or paying people to pick stocks. And over time, I think that's going to be the case. So if a person is of that mindset and wants to hold positions, They can use these broader themes like Robin just mentioned, where the market tends to rally into the election year. And, you know, always protecting yourself. You can't just step back and do all the things that traders do when they're not in front of the screen and let the markets just trade. You have to still have to have some stops in. Some of the things that traders do include golfing, fishing, skiing, boating, mountain climbing, and also high-speed drag racing and showing up at various nightclubs, smoking expensive cigars, and dressed in suits. Those are some of the activities of traders. I don't know how many of you actually do that, but that's what traders do.
You've got the NASCAR in Vegas.
We do. We have NASCAR in Vegas here.
Yeah, you can get into a Formula One car and do that.
Right. About the only thing I've done that traders do is drag racing, but I don't go to the strip. I just look to my right, and if there's somebody like maybe somebody over 60 in a car that I clearly know I can beat, I'll roll my window
like
a AMC Pacer.
Yeah.
Something like that. What were you going to say, Dwayne?
A Pinto.
Right. I'll roll my window down and say, yeah, I'm sure you're really proud of it, but let's run them. You know, something like that.
I'm surprised you haven't done that NASCAR in Vegas. Have you done that?
No, I haven't done that. This is what I do. I'm explaining what I do. I drive up to people with cars that are obviously inadequate, and then I challenge them. And then
it's the type of car, it's not the speed that gets you intrigued? I mean, you're doing this thing out in California, so.
Yes. No, I'm just being playful.
He's doing a bit.
It's a bit. I'm doing my little bit.
There is
here.
A little bit of difference between the NASCAR and the Formula One.
That's true.
There is a little difference between NASCAR and Formula One. Formula One is pushing the very envelope. You know, Formula One is kind of like the very, very high-tech industry where every possible new little thing where you're trying to get a little nth of an edge out of that car, they'll put that technology, if the rules allow, into that car.
Mm.
NASCAR is obviously a whole different thing. It's much more low-tech and all that. But a lot of the things that we have in cars today come from Formula One. Mm-hmm. Technology that has, just like a lot of things that we have in cars today, come from the military, you know, our mm-hmm. GPS sure. and all that stuff.
One of the biggest differences between a Formula One car and a NASCAR?
What is it?
No spittoon.
Oh. Yeah. Well, there you are. Anyway, I've noticed a new phenomenon here in Las Vegas because there were a number, you know, the laws have changed, and I think rightly so, regarding texting while driving. And I think anybody who's done that, if you're honest with yourself, you know, it's really dangerous. And you and I and everybody knows who's done it. If you're texting, you'll end up getting into a position where, whoa, you have to pull your car back into the lane or somebody stops in front of you and you just barely, you know. Obviously, it's dangerous to do. And so, rightly so, the laws have changed and people are not allowed to text while they drive. And so in Las Vegas, it's a small city. Policemen have set up a lot of clever ways to catch people out here. I've seen a number of them, and fortunately I've been able to avoid, except for one occasion, which I did get a ticket for it. But I just wanted to say that now that that has happened for much of this year, we're in August and more than halfway through August, I've noticed a new phenomena here, maybe you have in your area as well, and that is that people now hold their phone down below the level of the door and window so mm-hmm. that you can't see it. And if you look to your left or look to your right while you're driving, you see people just looking down with their eyes. And so
talking.
Or talking or whatever. But you can tell that their eyes are just held down. They're just looking. They look up at the light, then they look back down at their eyes. So I'm sure the police are going to come up with some way to, because people do not want to stop using their phones.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, I haven't. But I'm doing it in safer ways. It's still not safe, but I'm doing it in safer ways if I can. Because I really do. I've seen it for myself that it's dangerous and can get you in trouble.
You're so funny that you pick up on these things. This is ready for the, again, for the comedy store, for them.
I know.
Because that, you know, it's like, you know, talk to the hand. You know?
You're right, talk to the hand. Well, I saw it just this morning. I mean, again, I've seen it for a couple of weeks. I've noticed that the more and more I drive up the lights and I look down, people's eyes are just down. Their hand is below the level of the window there, and they're looking at their phone and doing
Isn't
whatever
there
they
something
do.
You can like plug in somewhere? Do we have even you know, which you said, the lighters. Do lighters even exist in cars? I don't even think I have a lighter socket. But isn't there a way to do it so that you go in the car and then you can put on so that you can hear the phone?
Sure. There's the whole Bluetooth thing that cars have, the thing. And some will allow you to do the voice recognition where you can text. You know, people have that on their phones. Mm-hmm. But still, it is dangerous, and I would really suggest that most people be very careful with that, because I have found for myself, I've been driving for a long time, and I do consider myself a safe driver. I don't know what a good driver is, but I'm a safe driver. And I've been the least safe since I started texting on the phone. And
there's no doubt. I mean, there's a lot of commercials on now with people who have gotten seriously injured with texting because they're just not aware. I mean, they're just not looking at where they should be looking.
Right. And there's the compulsion to finish the text and all that, and then you'll look up, and then before you know it, you're in a wall or in somebody's car. So how are you doing? You know, just right in their front seat with them. So it's dangerous. Anyway.
And they can track you, too. I mean, you know, it's tracked on the phone. So if they do catch you, or if you do get in an accident, all they got to do is check your phone.
They do that in California. They will take your phone in California, and they look at the time of your calls, and they'll say, well, you were driving. I was following you for 3 minutes, and, you know, your last call was here. So
exactly.
You know, gotcha.
I mean, they're using cell phones for all sorts of things. You know, I mean,
you can buy
what they can do with the phones is they can make the phone smart enough so that you can't text while you're in motion.
Because
it has its own little, what do you call it in it, that notices, accelerometer.
Yep. There are some apps that do that. They won't let you enter anything into the app while you're in motion.
Yeah, parents install those apps on their kids' phones. And
that's the most active I've heard Michael in like 4 weeks now. Just right there. That was Michael in...
Yeah, Come on now. There was that time that Robin got me to open right up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have to work on him.
It's like a man just emerging from a cave or something.
I'm going to transform him when we go to the Cape. I'm going to transform him. You won't recognize him when I get finished with him.
Yeah, right. I'll be talking. David won't be able to get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. I've heard that about myself. All right. Well, if you like, I'll continue on the markets here, and we'll get through them, and we'll see. Because it's pretty quiet. We've had a nice decline. I mean, no doubt about it. We've had a nice decline today, off of the top here, the attempt anyway. We got up to 24.75. So we've had a good reversal off that. And how they handle this reversal and all that will be somewhat important here. So that's our outlook. We're looking for, to summarize, we're looking for much higher prices in the longer term on the S&P. Without a significant or a real break in the current trend, we do believe that much higher prices are coming, and that you should be careful. We are at a critical juncture in our work on the upside, having completed this top that we talked about that was due last week at the price of 1420. So it came a couple days late into this week, which is fair enough. Our stuff works on a plus or minus 1 unit of time basis. They completed the price on the 1 unit late in time, the 1421, and they spiked it. And so now we're having the first reaction off that. So this is important, how the market handles this stuff. Okay, so we can move on from here, unless anybody else. Michael, do you want to throw anything else in about accelerometers or the car or the markets or anything like that?
Not at the moment.
I'm guessing we've never seen you. There's no picture of you, but I am 100% certain. You tell me how I'm doing here, that you have black hair.
I don't.
Actually, I was going to say brown.
Yeah, it's sort of brownish.
It's dark. Sort of brownish. Is it dark?
It's not dark.
Okay.
Not really dark.
Then
not in the summer, anyway. When I spend time in the sun.
Why did you think he had dark hair?
I just, you know, because black we've never hair. Seen him, because he is the mystery man from a cave, I just build up a picture of people over time.
Oh, okay.
And I pictured him with darker hair, if not black, dark.
I didn't think you were as good looking as you were when I saw your picture. You're actually very attractive in person.
Well, I see. What are you doing a little later? I get a lot of compliments on this program from Robin. I'm wondering if there's going to be asking for a big loan or something coming up. No, just joking. That's very nice of you, Robin. And Robin and I actually have a really nice time. We go to a little lunch place. She lives here in Las Vegas.
She was basing that off Michael's picture. That's why I suggested.
That's me right there.
Hold on.
That's why you thought he had black hair.
Oh, there.
Yeah, that's okay. That's probably it. That's why you thought I had black hair.
That's probably was in the back of my mind. That's good. That's a nice shot of you.
I put pictures out there every now and then.
Okay. It's all right.
Not on there, but you know, in the live trading room.
Yeah. Anyway, it's all right. We just, you know, I just was curious because I sometimes you talk to people a long time, and you know, interestingly enough, if I have to be honest with you, I'm usually wrong because when I listen to people talk, you get a mental picture. You must get that over time. You kind of get a picture of something that they look like, and I'm usually wrong about the way that people are going to look from listening to their voice. The voice is a very, you know, powerful instrument, and it often is completely unlike the way a person looks.
Well, plus people are 75% visual. So what happens is you just naturally conjure up an image. Mm-hmm. And you're right. The image is I would have to say it's 100% wrong all the time. But because, mm-hmm. You know.
My image of you for years, David, was like a Nordic skiing guy, a Nordic cross-country skiing guy.
That's funny.
And then I met you. Oh, yeah.
That is funny. It's funny. It's funny. We get these pictures. You do get a picture from people's voices. And by the way, I am somewhat Nordic in my appearance, I might add.
Yeah,
no, just joking.
You're a skinny Jewish guy.
I'm a skinny Jewish guy. That's the bottom line. I mean, I'm not gonna.
With heavy Nordic leanings.
Yeah. Anyway, but no, sometimes Robin comes because she lives in Las Vegas. She's a trading coach out here and anywhere. She travels around and does that. But we've been to the same restaurant. We have a fun time. And a lot of times when I'm leaving the restaurant, the people behind the sushi bar, some of them don't speak English very well, and some of them, surprisingly, are not Japanese. Some of them are. But the Japanese one is in particular, I'll always say something like, well, this is very good. Next time, if you guys can get like a hamburger on a grill, I'd love to come back. And they're nodding, yes, 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 because they don't understand a word you're saying. And the rest of the room there is sort of laughing. Yeah, they just.
He's got them so conditioned that he walks in the door, and 5 seconds after he sits down, they have the tea down, and they have exactly what he wants to eat, like on the table. Everybody else has to wait a half an hour, but David walks in there, and it's like
I don't know what it is.
I don't know how they cook it so fast.
I don't know. It's almost like
they're expecting
me.
From the car.
No.
I don't know. You walk in the door, and it's like down on the table. It's
amazing. Well, it's hard not to go to a restaurant that treats me like you do. Which is well. So I go there. You know. Anyway. All right, let's move on. We'll take a look at a few of the other.
Do you find the same high quality service when you go for your mani-pedi?
My mani-pedi, what is that?
Getting your toenails done.
I don't get that done.
It's the thing you get right before your massage. Or after.
Yeah. No, I do go for massages. Now that's one thing, and that they're not the kind that you're on a table, but just in those chairs, people, you know, that they work you at the mall, and there's some really good ones. And
mall massages.
The mall massages. I've had some. I'm telling you, it's like taking a vacation.
Do you have
a massage? But I don't go to the mall to get one.
All right.
Why won't you lie on the table?
Well, the table is more involved. You have to set the appointment, and you know the place is this way and that way. And at the mall, they have the, you know, out here at the Fashion Show Mall, which is right on Las Vegas Boulevard. You can go in there if you have some other business to do there. You can also get one of those massages, and it turns out that there are some really good people
excellent
at those. And there's a woman that works at one who is really close, probably for me, either the best or very close to being the best. She can, you know, it's like taking a vacation. I mean, you really drift away from where you are, and by the time you get up, you do a 20 or 25 minute deal. By the time you get up, you are a new person, and it really. It's amazing.
Let me ask you a question. If your good friend, Chris, I'm not familiar with his work, the attorney.
Yeah, Chris Olson.
Hot sauce Chris, yeah.
When you're an attorney, you need an attorney.
Right. Yeah. The hot shot attorney. if he decided, I mean, here's a guy with a law degree that makes so much money he won't refinance his house. Because I'm assuming, unlike some other people, he can actually get refinanced.
I would think he could.
On, you know, he just, on a, his middle-aged version of backpacking through Europe is he creates hot sauce. with a funny picture. But what if he decided to go to masseuse school and become a licensed masseuse? And the next time he saw you, he says, "Greg, David, I've
don't be in that same category. I know who you were talking about."
David, I've graduated from massage school, and I would love to give you a full body massage. How would you react to that?
That might be a little strange, but I would give him a shot. I mean, I have to admit that'd be a little weird.
Would you just plop right up on the table?
Well, you know what? It's funny because you do. You put people in categories. This person can touch me. This person shouldn't. You know, in your life and in my friendship, and he's actually in my life, he's basically my best friend. He doesn't live out here in Las Vegas, but I've known him for many, many years. But it would be a little odd. But had he gone to school for it, I would give him a shot. Yeah. I'm not, at this age, at 55, I'm much less, what's the word?
Homophobic?
No, yes, self-conscious and, you know, people touch people, and there's all, you know, all that stuff. So
I'm just curious, because in younger days,
I might have been a little more standoffish about it.
I had a friend for many years who was a very talented masseuse, but we were also very good friends. I mean, my wife and I, and him and his wife, I mean, we went for dinner, we did everything together, and he was a masseuse, and he was like the in-house masseuse at the YMCA, plus he did all kinds of other places and resorts, and he taught. He taught people to become masseuse. You could become licensed by going to his classes. Uh-huh. And he was forever saying, "Hey, you need to come in and let me give you a massage." And I was always like, we'll have to do that someday.
Uh-huh. And, that never happened.
You know, now that I'm a man of a certain age, and hopefully have matured in some levels. And I haven't seen my buddy Rick in quite a few years. I'm still not sure I would want him to give me a massage.
It's when he says, "Do you want the seaweed massage?" that you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. I don't think he did the high-tech stuff. I think he just did the... from what I heard from everyone who ever got a massage from him was that, like, he was
fabulous.
He was the best. Yeah. He was the absolute best. And does that mean I would, if I were, like, staying at a resort and I signed up for the massage and it was some guy named Bjorn or whatever their names are, Sven, and I would probably have, you know, little to no problem with that. But it was just the fact that it was someone who was a friend, or back in the day, a drinking buddy, and all of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of goes back to that biblical saying, a prophet is never recognized in his hometown. You know, once somebody's too familiar to you, it gets a little weird, perhaps, when it comes to being massaged and all that. So.
And we were actually, my wife and I, we were actually taking the massage class to become licensed masseuse. Now, this is a million years ago. I was probably 23 or 24. I'm just guessing. And we got like halfway through the class, and not only did halfway through the class did I realize that the thought of him massaging me kind of creeped me out. But some of the people that I were asked to massage during the class, I'm just being real honest, kind of creeped me out. It was like, oh, I didn't really want to do that. I didn't want to be that physically intimate without. Because you're supposed to show up to these classes in a sober state of mind. You know, in some other state of mind, God knows anything could have happened. But
showing up in a sober state of mind,
it's supposed to be a healing and holistic kind of an experience. And you know, there's incense burning and blah blah. So long story short. I never got my license. I quit halfway.
Well, that's maybe for the best.
I think the world is probably a better place today.
It might be for the best. But I will say this, putting all the weirdness aside and all the interpersonal things that, you know, can come into play, the fact is that it can put you into a remarkably different frame of mind and do it in short order. You don't have to go to sleep for 8 hours and wake up and feel different. A really good massage can do that. And if you haven't tried it and you want to go, you know, I would suggest that people do that. It's pretty remarkable, and some people are more or less, you know, it means more or less to them. But it means a lot to me if somebody knows how to do it well. And I'll tell you this, you get used to it so that if somebody doesn't know how to do it, it becomes painfully obvious very quickly that they don't know how to do it. You know, you don't want to be rude and say, you know, that's fine, here's your $15 or whatever, you know, I'll just leave now. You let them go through their moves. But there's some really good ones here in Las Vegas, and it's been really good for me. So it's just a little something. I try to be transparent. That's one of the things I do. So there you are, Dwayne. We'll move on to the markets now, shall we?
You never have a manicure, huh, David?
I haven't had a manicure in my whole life, Dwayne. I've never had a manicure.
That's unusual.
Yeah,
now, Robin,
I've never sat down and had my hands.
Have you ever had a manicure?
I'm sorry?
I asked Robin if she had
ever
had.
Oh, I always have a manicure.
And I don't want to go ping pong here, but are perhaps the people staffing the nail salon Vietnamese?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. That is
yeah,
always.
I haven't been to one near my house that hasn't been an Asian. In fact, it's a guy, and he's fabulous.
And it's been an incredible growth industry for them, and it's not looked down or frowned upon anyway.
Nope.
However,
nope.
The way that they handle and transact business from one salon to another, because I've been to a couple with my wife, mm-hmm. and the pitch is always the same. There's a video on YouTube, and I'll play just a minute of it, and you'll get the...
I go with my sister. We go to this place. It's called Beautiful Nail. Kind of confused when I first read the sign, though. Beautiful nail. Just one. Nail is beautiful. Do I get to pick which one? I don't know what happened to the rest of them, but that one is really good. It's okay, though, because these ladies are so nice. You know what I mean? They make you feel like it's all about you and customer service. You know, whatever you like, we do for you. We do full set only $16. As soon as I walk in, they greet me right away. Hi, honey, what you need today? How are you, mom? Do you know my mom? She's really good, thanks. Can I get a manicure, please? Okay, honey, do you like pedicure too? No, just a manicure. Thanks. Honey, why you don't lie? Pedicure may look nice. It's so sexy. It's better for you. Okay. I'll get a pedicure too then. Thank you. It's okay, honey. Sit down. I'm gonna stick my leg. Shoot a boy. Good job. Only $20 more. That's okay. Sit down. So my leg starts doing my nails right away. But her American name is Tammy. She sits right next to Tina. And then there's Jenny in the back. You have a boyfriend? No, I don't have a boyfriend. Honey, why you don't have? I think you know the first time you were in here, you look like Mado, Chilita, something pretty. You like long or short nail? Short nails, please. Thank you. Oh, honey, that's why they have a boyfriend. It's okay, I do for you. It's better for you. Only $4 more, that's okay. Do you like Crito Gel? What? Do you like Crito Gel? I Sorry. What?
Honey, why you don't understand me? I say, do you like crystal gel for your nail? It's the best thing you can have for your nail. It's like night and sparkle like diamond in the sky. Do you like crystal gel?
Robin, is that how it really is?
My guy's not that talkative. He's pretty
that's
good.
That's a hard accent to get like that. She, yeah. You know, that's, they have a peculiar thing in their speech. That's very good that she can do that.
This is Angela Johnson, and she's a stand-up comedian. But she's obviously intimately related to this business. And you can Google up video. And part of it is seeing her and her delivery. You know, that's a big part of comedy. Remember when, maybe your parents, David, I don't know, you're a bit older than I am. But I remember as a kid, there were comedy albums. Do you remember comedy albums?
Yeah, like not Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin's stuff,
and
all
I'm thinking
his shows.
Like Bill Cosby.
Red Fox.
Yeah, this was when Bill Cosby was a little bit ribald or something. Yeah. And these were actually LPs. These were platters that you put on your record player or your phonograph.
Nobody knows what a phonograph is.
I know.
Anymore.
And, you know, when you do comedy, part of it is in the delivery and the body language and the facial expression of the individual. And while some of it translates over audio just now, I mean, this might have been semi-funny to some people, but if you actually watch the video and you've ever been in one of these salons, you'll actually fall out of your chair laughing because it's so realistic.
Well, that's what's so great about the YouTube stuff, too. I mean, you can find a lot of these people on YouTube and you know, all over, and you get the visual, and you can rent those.
But I remember my parents going into, like, they would go into another room because they had a quote-unquote adult album to listen to. And this was like Bill Cosby or the Smothers Brothers telling some slightly off-color jokes. I mean, this was long before the Super 8 porno movie days. I mean, this was just... They were walking on the wild side with a Bill Cosby adult comedy album. And we all know that Bill Cosby's always been a pretty clean kind of guy. You know, he's made his career on clean humor. So, anyway. Yeah. Well, David, I'm glad you enjoy your sit-down massages. Maybe someday you'll man up and just lay down and let Chris take you places you've never been. I don't know. It could happen.
Well, there's a thought, but you know, the truth of the matter is that Chris is, you know, he won't be in that position. But I get your point. Chris is going to continue working on his business of growing these peppers and making these sauces, and we'll bring him on the program and we'll have him pass out little samples to the listeners. In the meantime, we'll scoot right along to another market here.
What's he got in plans for distribution network?
You know, I really don't know if he has a lot of business plans just yet. He's trying to get the basics together. His sauce is amazing. He sent me a bottle of it, and I have to tell you, and I'm a fan of hot sauces and spicy, it was really, really good. I would use it again. If it was in a store and I didn't know it was his, I'd buy it again. It was good. So, but it's a very, very involved business. It's like anything else. You look at any little product on the shelves, and I'm telling you, an enormous amount of complexity had to get watered through, you know, or washed through in order for that product to arrive there and be a product that can be sold. It's very difficult to put a product out and get, I mean, a physical product that's just sitting there, you know, out on a shelf somewhere. As the president said, you know, you didn't actually do that, but the fact is that however it did get there, it's really complicated and it's really hard, even if it's the government that actually did it all for you, which is what, you know, which is the truth of the matter.
Uh-oh, it's the warm-up.
It's the warm-up. I'll go on to the markets here. okay, so, Dwayne, can we move on from here?
We can.
Okay, let's go over to gold real quick. This gold market, we can go back just for a couple days real quick, very briefly. Back on August 1st or July 31st, we had a forecast for the market to decline in December gold from about 1620 down to 1586. And from 1586, we expected a reversal and a move up to 1646 to 1647. This was a somewhat complex use of spatial relationship forecasting, that the market should first go down to 1586, and then it should have a move up to two price levels. The first one was 1616. Some of you will remember this. And it went beyond that, but it touched 1616 and then had a reversal down, and then now today has broken out. And yesterday on the program, we mentioned that if you wanted to simply buy any breakout on gold for the move up to at or near 1646 to 1647, today the market did break out. The swing high today so far has been 1643.6. Under normal conditions, we should see somewhat higher prices for the completion of this. Some commodities, gold actually has been really good, but I just want to say that every market has its own personality and its own expression and way that it gets things done. But under normal conditions, we should see a test or attempt at 1646 on the upside, if not substantially higher. And yesterday we mentioned that you should take some profits as we inch in towards that number and then hold the remainder for the possibility of a much larger move. So in the way that this played out, under normal conditions, we would have expected the original target, downside target of 1586, to be reached on the week of August 6th, but it occurred 1 week early, and we thought the 1 week early was probably going to be it, but and it was. It turned out to be, but in order to trade that and make money off of it, you had to treat the market more carefully and wait for breakouts. And like I've said on a number of these setups, I would take this breakout under these conditions because we've already completed the proper price on the downside. And even though it came one unit early, it'd be easier if I showed you a chart. But the fact is this market has completed it and has moved higher. This is right after some of these very big players in the gold and silver markets have loaded up. And so isn't it interesting, because I think Dwayne had mentioned the other day that some of the big players, big people that were buying potentially in the billions or at least hundreds of millions of dollars worth of either ETFs or the metal or some proxy for being in the market, that they went ahead and did that, and now the market has had a nice pop up since then. So did they make the market go up, or did they just get on the right side of a move that was going to happen? Because not that we made it move ourselves, but the forecast that we were looking for has occurred, and they got in just a few days ago, right before the expected move.
Yeah,
up
I
to
think the day I read that announcement, David, we were down at around 1600, roughly.
Okay.
And so now we're up $45 higher.
They had a nice move.
Yeah.
They took advantage of it. And so there you are. So, and again, many of these were not directly in the gold market buying the physical gold, but in some other form of the market.
And the biggest thing to me was that Paulson put, I told the size of his hedge fund, how many billions it was. I forget. Was it?
It was a lot of billions, like 20 or 30 or 40.
Yeah. And he now has 45% of his entire hedge fund. And you know, these most guys always, you know, preach the diversification thing. You know, you put a little bit in this asset class, you put a little bit in this asset class, and blah blah blah. And I'm not arguing against that. I'm just saying the fact that one of the smartest guys on the planet, guy who made a fortune betting against the subprime. there's a Freudian.
There's a Freudian slip for
you. The subprime meltdown. He now has, out of $20 billion, he's got 44% of it in gold and or some gold correlated backed asset.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a huge statement.
Yeah, that is. Many, you know, we've seen this before, and it also is true in many, many other areas in life. People say one thing and they act very differently from their presentation. And that's just a very common theme. You see it in, but certainly we see it in politics. We definitely see it in trading. I am just right in that same alley, although I don't do what I've used to do. I could still very much say that there are things that I would talk about on the radio that I would, from time to time, break that rule for some reason. But I found over time that it does work out better to not break it. Once in a while, anything will work, but you want to be doing something that works over time in your favor. Religious, we see this a lot in religion. We see a preacher preaching, what sin is, or in his version of it, and then next year we see him out being caught doing that same thing. In politics we see it in the markets, and we see it in people who, like Duane is bringing up, here's a hedge fund guy that, he preaches very differently than what he's trading. I hope his trade works out well for him, on the long side, and maybe this is one of those extraordinary opportunities where he makes an exception to the rule. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But it's a good idea.
Every year, Futures Magazine, they come out at some point in the year. It's the end of the year, beginning of the year, but like the top 10 money managers worldwide, guys who had astronomical years, 50% returns, 100% returns, 125% returns. If you gather those annual additions over a 10-year period of time, the 10 that you see in this year's edition, mm-hmm. As the top 10 guys,
mm-hmm.
don't bother looking for them in next year's edition.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. It's amazing.
Yeah, no. And the CFTC makes a point of saying that in some of their disclosure documents somewhere that something along those lines that, people that are doing well this year, that doesn't, again, it goes back to the past performance. You've all read it. Past performance is no indication of future performance. And it's so true. It's a very, very true statement. You have to be very careful how you pick your stuff. And it goes back to Burton McKell, which, just simply owning the index fund is one good way to just simply beat most of the people who are doing this over time.
I'm surprised that someone hasn't come out with some kind of inverse fund for trading against the top 10 traders of last year or the top 10 money managers.
It's funny you say that. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. I'm also surprised somebody hasn't come out with a fund to trade against everything this government invests in the green energy, because that would have been you could have made a lot of money on that.
Yeah, that might that might fall under treason or something. I don't know.
Oh. Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it doesn't fall under treason. It's just the government. Listen, there's buyers and sellers and everything.
Hey, Robin, that email that you sent me, did you send that to David as well?
No, I just sent it to you. The one with the picture?
No, the one about
in
Michael
the
Macy.
Yes, I did.
Did you read that?
He probably hasn't.
No, I haven't read it yet. No,
it's fabulous, isn't it?
Well, the guy speaks well. I've never heard of him before.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Is he a nationally syndicated radio jock or local? Or
he's a newspaper. Was it the L.A. something?
He writes
Los
for
Angeles
the L.A. Times.
Yeah.
He's the other evening on I won't read the whole thing because it's very lengthy. The other evening on my Twitter, a person asked me why I don't like the Obamas. Specifically, I was asked, I have to ask, why do you hate the Obamas? It seems personal, not policy related. You even diss their Christmas family pick. And I'm going to go with two paragraphs and then I'll stop. The truth is, I do not like the Obamas, what they represent, their ideology, and I certainly do not like his policies and legislation. I've made no secret of my contempt for the Obamas. As I responded to the person who asked me the aforementioned question, I don't like them because they are committed to the fundamental change of our country into what can only be regarded as a communist state. And this guy doesn't go off onto some tinfoil hat rant and rave. he goes on for paragraph after paragraph of some things that really have to make you stop and think. So when you have time, David, read through that, and then it's a little lengthy to read the entire thing on the air. Perhaps I'll put a link to it on the blog in the show notes. And then, you know, anyone, here's the deal. I'll put a link to it in the show notes on the blog so everybody can read it. Some of you will agree. Some of you will be driven to mass hysteria over it. But once David has had an opportunity to read it as well, we would invite your input. See, we believe in equal airtime for people who agree with us and people who disagree with us. Unfortunately, nobody ever wants to take up the mantle of the disagreeing with us. We'll give you an open mic. We'll let you say your piece. We've said that for months, years. But mostly people just go, that's crap, and storm out and slam the door behind them in the chat room. And then they're right back again tomorrow. But we would love to hear the other. You guys have heard our side of the story, what we believe, what we think to be truth. We are open and willing to listen to your side of the argument. Are we not,
absolutely,
David?
Absolutely. I'd love to hear it. And I just want to say also, for people who have known me for some time, I'm actually, as I know this is going to sound hard to believe, but I'm really hardly ever interested in politics. The thing that got me interested in politics was the last 3.5-4 years of the President Obama. And the reason it did is because I legitimately, at 55 years old, had a sentiment near what this guy said, that this guy actually wants to make much more radical changes in the United States of America that I grew up in than I'm comfortable with. I mean, I actually can see him doing it. It has nothing to do, I've never been interested really that much in foreign policy and all these other things. You know, these guys are doing their thing. I kind of enjoyed Bill Clinton's presidency from a distance, you know, in a certain way, and I've enjoyed other presidents along the way. But the fact is that this actually frightens me because of the amount of charisma he has, and I know what charisma is capable of doing, and I'm watching from the side and getting more and more interested and thinking, well, this is a guy who over time has slowly let the cat out of the bag about what he really feels and what he thinks. And there's a new movie out too called 2016, which very much unlike Michael Moore's movie, which is just he's a nearly a crackpot who, you know, mixes half truths and half lies together and puts together a movie. This guy has made, he's a serious guy, is taking all of his information from Obama's own writings. And so I haven't seen the book yet, or haven't seen the movie yet, but I'd like to. But really, my interest in politics picked up when I really kind of started getting scared that this guy has the charisma to make huge, sweeping changes that move America away from how we got to where we are now, where there's this great, great government, centralized government that everybody depends on. And, you know, he's been taking away the rugged individualism. He's been dissing rugged individualism in people all the way from, you know, the basic all the way up to, you know, people running businesses or corporations. Certainly anyone could agree he's a million miles from the great unifier that he proposed that he would be. This is one of the most divisive campaigns that I've ever seen in my adult life. So he's frightening to me. He does. And that's what got me interested in looking at him closer, talking more about him. And then, of course, you can hear it in my voice when we talk about him, that this is a guy who just recently really came clean. When he's off the teleprompter, you know, he says what he really means. That's why they try to keep him on the teleprompter. But just the other day when he says, you didn't build that, and no matter how you want to interpret all that, it's very denigrating to the effort that small business people put in. And he could have made that same argument to any other endeavor in your life that you really didn't do that. And notice who he pointed to as the person that helped you get there. Every kind of government service, roads, you know, buildings, teachers, all these things that the government does. But the government didn't do those things, Mr. Obama. Businesses did those things. You still needed businesses to put the roads in. When the state needs a road built, the state doesn't build the road. It contracts with businessmen to do that. So, in fact, we needed businessmen to build those roads, Mr. Obama. That wasn't the government that did that for us, and the government didn't invent the internet. So get your facts straight before you go, you know, pile them onto the people in your very charismatic way. But all of that stuff, the way he came out of the closet, so to speak, with his vision for America, has frightened me. I mean, I'm not too much of a, or too little of a man, or much of a man, whatever, to admit that. It's scary.
Well, you opened this with the cat's out of the bag now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already getting pelted with emails from PETA. They want to know skinned or unskinned.
No, he was the cat still had the skin on him.
Okay.
So
all right.
We're good to go.
Now, you did make a comment about the government didn't invent the internet. Well, they kind of did.
They had a hand in it, but it was private research. Let me tell you, it was private research, just like many, many of the products that are coming out now, that universities come up with ideas.
Universities, right.
I'm sorry?
It was the military, and then universities got on board.
Military and university, both had their hand in it. But just if you go back and take a look at some of the greatest inventions that ended up in the military or ended up in the public's hands, including GPS, all of it comes, or a great portion of it, comes from high-end universities doing research work, and then people come in and they license that work for themselves for commercial application. And that's how we, that's a big part of how much of this came along. But I'm not interested in discounting whatever hand government had in it. It's fair enough. They had whatever hand they had in it. But where he's coming from is big government is great, bigger government is better, individualism needs to go away, America can't be this big. His father was into the whole colonialism thing. His father felt that, you know, look at George Bush as an example. He wanted to go into, a lot of people feel he went into Iraq because he wanted to finish his father's war. Fathers are big figures in these people's lives, and Obama's father felt that America needed to be downsized because it was too, you know, big with its power. And what do we see Obama doing? You know, you can call it whatever you want, but we're going in that direction.
This is a guy who wrote his autobiography at age 30.
Yeah. And
now, you know, some interesting things are happening in Cuba right now. I don't know how quickly or how closely you follow.
I'm not following Cuba.
Cuban
go ahead.
News, but everything, when Castro took over, he made the declaration that in the town square, wherever, that, you know, we are now a socialist regime is basically what his statement was. And they went about confiscating every private business, and everything became government-owned in the pursuit of equality among all people. Since then, it has been one of the most absolutely poor nations, and you don't hear so much about it because their media is so restrictive and who they allow in and who they tell. But I have some friends who've been there recently, and the conditions are just beyond horrible. Mm-hmm. All government run. The government makes your paycheck. The government gives you your food rationing cards every month. They don't pay enough money to live. They don't. Your food rationing card does not include enough food to feed your family for the entire month. I mean, it is really bad. However, now that his brother has taken over, there have been some major changes. There are 170 business or job classes that can now actually be run as a private enterprise. I wasn't really aware. I knew there were some things happening, but until this morning, I didn't realize that it had been broken down and classified. Like, you can be an ice cream vendor, or you can run a restaurant, or you can be a brick mason. You still can't be an architect for profit. You still must work for the government. You can't be a scientist or a doctor or a computer engineer in the private sector. But Cuba is rapidly changing. They were interviewing a guy on the radio who opened a restaurant. He used to run a government-owned restaurant, and then he was given the opportunity to run his own restaurant, a for-profit, where he could actually you know, come in early, stay late, and, you know, be creative and put some guy out front in a suit dancing around to attract customers, and he could actually make more money. And rather than just get that same government paycheck every week that wasn't enough, he now sort of has his destiny in his own hands. And gosh, the excitement in this guy's voice that he grew mm-hmm. up under this socialist regime, and suddenly he's been handed the keys to capitalism, and he was pumped. And mm-hmm. apparently there's a whole country of people that are pumped.
Yeah. I've said this before. The greatest place in the world to be poor is America. So you figure out what that means. That means you have the greatest opportunity that you would have anywhere else, at least not in Obama's America, but in the America that we've all grown up with. This is the greatest place because you have more opportunities to get yourself out of that position than anywhere else. And I also want to say that any person who believes in the big government thing and wants the big government to grow and everyone has their food rationing cards, it all leads to that. Think of the egotism. Think of the self, raising yourself up to God level status that you want to run. It ends up being just another dictatorship in the end. And, you know, this president has visions like that for the government. And he's dissed rugged individualism. He's putting down people who run businesses. I mean, it's very obvious that he has very strong emotional reactions to success and to prosperity. And at the very least, I would call him a very reluctant capitalist, if he's a capitalist at all. So, you know, that scares me. And that's the first time in my whole adult life I've ever seen a president that really had a shot at trashing the whole system. And
Reg,
so, you know.
Reg says, I worked in Cuba for 6 years. What kind of work did you do there, Reg? Are you allowed to say? Oil drilling. Okay. And were the people truly as oppressed as the picture I just painted? More or less, but it is complex. Okay.
Well, there you are. But anyway, so, you know, vote for whoever you think is best. You know, that's, you know, that's all you can say. The people are going to vote
and
for...
And I can't type that fast. That's
people that are going to vote for Obama are going to vote for him anyway. People who are going to, you know, we're not sure right now, fair enough. But consider the fact that if you... play with the mechanism that made America great too much and change it, you're essentially experimenting with a system that has been very, very successful. We got to this greatness because we did, in fact, build it. You know, we actually did get out and build it. And the government did, in fact, play a part. But anytime somebody believes that their part is more important, you know, what happens to bands when one person starts to believe that they're the most important part in the band? The band ends up breaking up. All things that were great, that were working unified together, end up breaking up when one person starts thinking they know best for everybody else. And that's what we have in this president. He actually thinks he knows better than you do. And I'm telling you, he thinks of ordinary people kind of as stupid. He doesn't think that you have the intelligence that he has. He has wiser, better answers for how you need to live your life in the society that you're going to live in. And he's going to show those answers to you.
And he's going to take guys like you down a notch or two.
That's right.
Or die trying. You know, it truly is a shame that America's first black president turned out to be America's worst president. That's a shame.
Yeah.
It
well,
really is.
Unfortunately, like I've said so many times on the program, then we'll get back to the markets, I promise, you know, charisma usually wins. I mean, almost always. And he's got a ton of it. And I do see Mitt getting ahead in the money, and I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping things go well. So we'll see how it all ends
up. Ed
says
the U.S. just came out with a stamp that has our flag on it, and it says equality forever, which is a Karl Marx quote.
Oh.
Interesting.
You know, equality meaning we all have the same bowl of porridge, and we're all looking to the government for our next bowl of porridge. So we're all equal. See, they have a problem with people getting ahead. There's something wrong with that. It doesn't sit well with this administration, you getting ahead in your business, you having success, you owe it to the government, all that, on and on. We've been through that. So,
but you know, here's the thing about human nature. Not everybody wants to be a capitalist. It's not just about the government. In that article I was quoting earlier, the guy refers to our current president and his wife as elitist Leninist, which I'll let you Google up what that really means. But I know many people who have absolutely no desire to go out and work hard and build a business and be successful. I mean, they just it might be a fleeting thought from time to time, but they don't have any fire in their belly to go and do that. Now, I wonder, is that genetic? Is that environmental? Is it learned behavior somewhere along the way?
Whatever it is, they have the freedom to do that under the system, and they can still take advantage of the system.
What we don't want is somebody who
can step in and tell us to be that way.
Yeah. Now, if the system were taken away, because these people, obviously, who don't have a desire to go out and participate in the world of capitalism, they can, I guess, become a part of some corporate structure and or live off the government. But faced with, I heard somebody make a quote the other day about money. And it was somebody who had a lot of money, and I can't remember who it was, but he said, you know, money is nothing but paper with pictures of dead presidents on it. Oh, I know. It was a quote from a guy, the head guy that was supposedly brought down Wall Street in the subprime debacle. He's the one that tipped the thing and set it all in motion because he told his company to sell first. He said, money is nothing but paper with pictures of presidents on it, and because of it, we don't have to kill people. We don't have to kill anybody to eat a good steak.
Mm-hmm.
Did you follow the line of thinking there? I may not have quoted him verbatim. It's from the movie Margin Call, which is now available on Netflix. And that is, you know, part of our civilized society has to do with the fact that we have created this fiat currency money, and that you can walk into a very nice restaurant and you can order it. And if you have the proper denominations in your pocket, you know, or your plastic, which represents that, you can pay for your meal and it's all very pleasant and everyone's all very civilized. But, you know, go back not too many years ago, 100 or 2, and if you wanted to eat, there's a good chance that in order to eat, you had to kill. Not necessarily another human being, but you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a powerful statement the way he made it in that movie.
Yeah, no, it is. The idea is that civilization, in part, is a result of the fact that money allows these things to happen. We're all working for each other to do things that the other person wants, whether it's a massage or a meal or whatever, and money allows us to do that without having to club the guy over the head to get it.
Could I ask you to put up the ES chart, please, in the middle of all this?
Sorry,
I didn't.
What would you like? Hourly?
Then we'll get on to
hourly, daily.
Whatever you want. It's just doing a move.
Here's hourly. Boy, it is doing a move, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to stick that up there. Thanks.
It's going back to challenge the opening lows on Monday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
interesting.
This right here on the screen, from a low down at 1410 up to the high here at 14, we'll call it 25. That's a 15-point range. That's bigger than the entire range we had last week, is it not? So, I mean, this has fallen hard over 1, 2, 3, 4 hours. And if you were in the live trading room this morning, you heard me say that this right here was a very bearish candlestick pattern for those that are into such things, and that it would potentially lead to much lower prices, and it has. And there seems to be some momentum behind the move.
Yeah, there's definitely some. It got real heavy all of a sudden, and it did earlier too. It had that on that first move down. It had that around 11, just before 11:30. It had it like rolled over very quickly, and then this one too is a strong move, stronger than we've seen all week. I mean, let's be honest. And now it just wants to go lower, so.
Because I don't know if I can...
Yeah, it's very directional, and they're putting some heat on it.
See if I can bump this up enough for you to see. Okay, this... I might have to get the circle out of the way. This candle right here closed at 1423. Okay. This candle opened at... Come on. 1420 and a quarter. Close at 23. Open at 23 and a quarter. So there's only one tick difference there. I thought I saw a little bit of a gap, but what I was looking at was this wake up here. But it was enough, that one tick. Gosh, that looks like more than one tick to me. That looks like two ticks. Doesn't that look like two ticks to you?
Is what is that a time chart or is that a...
This is an hourly chart. It almost looked like we had a gap. And it's rare to see intraday gaps. But it almost looked like
I want to see if that's actually there because, at least on mine, just really give me a second here. It closed at 1423 on mine the first hour and the second hour opened at 1425. It's one tick.
Yeah, one tick. So there's no gap. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
There's no gap at all. It just kind of visually looks like a gap. I've got those same numbers that you have.
Okay.
But this is a variation of what they call dark cloud shadow. It's not a perfect example of it, but it was just enough to catch my attention once this closed way down here, and it's like, this looks a little bearish. So what do you got on the downside, David? Have you already ran through your daily levels for the...
Let's take a look. Next, well, of importance for us would be the 1411 to 1409 level down below here. If we hit that, I would be at least interested in looking at something here. You know, we've been on the radio while a lot of this has happened here. So, but if we do reach that level, I would be interested in looking at the market at that time for a potential of something. But I haven't been really putting everything together on it as it's been occurring here. So that's my next level on the downside of importance. But they're putting, you know, this is very, they're putting heat on this. This is a very persistent decline. And I would want to wait and see how they handle and if they can even get to that level before I would do anything here. So I don't have much to add. I will run through the rest of the market real quick, Dwayne, see if there's anything else unless you want otherwise.
Bert just suggested that I look at Apple. So I will for him real quickly. See what we got here. Wow, look at this thing. 670. That's the highest it's ever been. It's slightly off the highs right here. It has eclipsed Microsoft's value in 99 when it was at its height. It is on its way to being the first $1 trillion stock. Uh-huh. According to Ed, Apple is now at $650. Okay, so I'm showing a delayed quote, I guess, of about 20 minutes that shows... Oh, I'm just reading this wrong. Yeah, I'm sorry. Pardon me, guys. It was up here at 670 earlier. Now it's down at 650. Okay. So it's off 20 bucks on the day. And if it drops even lower... Then on this is a daily chart, we're going to have a bearish engulfing pattern here, which could set the stage for prices to trade substantially lower. But we're headed into this September the 12th big announcement where they supposedly are going to announce iOS 5 or the iPhone 5 and potentially... Whatever's going to be new about Apple TV, whether it's going to be a new set-top box, an actual TV, or some kind of agreement that's been struck with the cable operators. And we'll know that on September 12th. So, okay. All right, David, what market would you like to go to?
We'll just blast them real quick. There's a few movers. We already talked about gold and... So we'll move on from that. Very quickly, Facebook, nothing to add to that. They're sort of where they were. We talk about the bonds for the
now,
on-time
hang on,
week.
Facebook, did you hear our comments earlier?
Yes.
Now, what a sweet deal.
Yeah.
$500,000 investment, 8-year time horizon, $400 million. And still got 5.6 million shares that he can sell if and when he ever wants to.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how many times he's done that and nothing's happened. You know, I mean, he was definitely smart on the target with this one, but that doesn't always happen, unfortunately.
Well, and David, that's the guy Robin was talking about yesterday who was doing the educational scholarships for the kids.
Yep, he's the
one that
sponsors that program.
So. Right.
Okay. All right. So beyond crude, do you want to go to?
Just was going to mention. I'm just going to run through them quick because there's you know, other than the S&P and a few of these others, there's just a few of them here. The bond market we're talking about. We're forecasting a week of August 20th, this current week, as the bottom on the weekly. So you might want to keep an eye on that if you're a bond trader looking at that. Nothing new to add to the euro except that the euro, we had forecast that the month of June would mark the bottom. That low came 1 month late in July. They're still moving up. The euro's up substantially today. We had some of our traders this morning when the euro was trading lower at about 124 or 50 or 60 that you could buy the euro. We put this out for an advance to 125.03 or higher, so about a 50 tick. Move. They've gotten pretty close even today. They've gotten up to 124.92 so far, but I am expecting higher prices. It would have been nice if I was on the show earlier because I think that's a very safe trade. Silver up substantially as well. We talked about that, mixing that in. Crude oil, again, rallying here into the month of August, which is an important month for us. I mentioned on Tesla, the stock that we follow, that the date of August 22nd, the market would want to test $29.03. Today is 1 day early, and they made a low of $29.18. So just pennies away from that. If they do test that level into tomorrow, then we'd want to talk about that because that's an important signal unto itself for us. And I think right now... I think that's probably everything. We did talk about soybeans yesterday. I don't remember exactly where they were at the time, but they were breaking out, which was an indication for higher prices. They have continued to new highs today. This is what we call a reflected wave breakout. So it normally means the market wants to run to a significant new level. Soybeans is doing that. We talked about the farmers and the hedging and all that stuff, and this is all part of what they have to do to run their business. And I think for today, Dwayne, that's just about everything. We do have some new volatility coming in the S&P, and that's nice. if we do, between today and tomorrow, I'll give you our forecast that, as I mentioned earlier, completing 1421, this is 1 week late for the weekly turn. So if they close the week below 1421, then there definitely is a tradable move on the downside that we can put together. Under normal conditions, there would be. But the fact that we're up here and that we've crept up here, I'd like to wait for a little more confirmation on that. And as we get a little further into the week, we'll get that. But I'll give you what our target is on the downside for the move off of this weekly top. Again, we're 1 week late for the S&P. So this decline that's happening right now is very interesting that they're pushing it here. Just purely technically, forget what the reasoning is, but just the fact that the market's able to do this means something. So it's interesting.
Anything else on crude? There was a couple.
Let's see. We've talked about crude, I think, on the bigger picture. And if I'd like, I can go in and maybe come up with something, not right here and now, but a little bit later. So for we talk tomorrow. We have a couple things on crude that is important. Number one, the original call for the big decline bottomed 1 month later in June. We're bouncing off of that. That would normally run up into August, and we're in August right now. So this is we're inching in on a critical period on the monthly chart anyway. I'm looking at September crude, by the way. I don't know what if anybody else is looking at a different point or not.
No, go to October crude. October.
Okay,
crude.
Let me change the charts then into tomorrow. I'll change over to October. We'll redo them, and then we'll have a little bit more information on it. But August is important to us on the upside as a topping period. So I'll update that tomorrow with some better information. I'm glad people are looking at crude. I love the market. Fabulous trending and trading range market. Really does run well. And there you are.
May I give something for a morning thought kind of thing?
Sure, of course.
Okay. Some people that I've coached have always asked me, you know, when I wake up in the morning, is there something that I can do that puts me in a good mindset to start trading? And there's a technique that I call the morning thought process. And what you do, it's pretty simple. You take an index card and you put down three modes that you want to be in when you wake up. So let's say you say, today I want to be a dynamic, disciplined trader. Or today is going to be a refreshing, relaxing trading day. However you'd like to be in that day, you write those three things down with the one that you want the most at the top of the list. You put it by your alarm clock. And as soon as your eyes waken, the very first thing you want to look at, not even the clock, is read your card three times. And that's all you have to do. Read the card three times and go on with your day. And what it does is, because your mind is literally a blank slate when you wake up, this puts the thought into your mind and kind of sets the mood for the day. And it can be pretty powerful. Don't make the thoughts long. Keep them short. And again, put the prioritized one at the top of how you want to feel during the day in the morning, and see how that works for you after a week. Okay?
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
All right. Well, Duane, thank you very much, Robin. Basically, that's everything we have. I will switch over to October, and we'll talk about this tomorrow for the crude oil market. And a pleasure being on the program, Duane, and unless you have anything else you want to
add. Ed had a question, but we can catch it tomorrow if you want. He would like you to share how you use volume in the markets.
Okay, actually, let's do save that for tomorrow, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And I would be very happy to discuss it to some degree on the radio with you.
Okay.
So.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much for having me on. Nice show, and Robin, nice to hear from you. And I'll plan on seeing you tomorrow
Friday.
Here, same time.
I'm going to see you Friday.
Oh, well, there you are.
Oh, are you in California?
May not be in California. I may not be here on Friday.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
I was planning on Friday. If not, then I'll see you when you get back.
Okay.
And thank you, Duane, and thank you, David, and thank you, Michael.
But you'll be here. Tomorrow, correct, Robin?
Yes. I'm here all week.
And
I'm back.
In fact, I'm going to put in the chat room right now, copy link address, into the chat room, guys, going out to everybody, is the link to the webinar that we're doing with Robin this Saturday.
Saturday, yeah, morning. Don't forget. And, you know, also, if you go onto my website, you can sign up for my alerts or newsletters. I don't do a formal newsletter any longer, but I do, you know, send out announcements if I'm going to be doing anything around town or anywhere that people can leverage. So if you want to be on that list, you can just sign up for that list and get alerted. I'm not big on sending tons of them, but I do like to remind people before the event happens.
Now, the first time I did a Saturday morning webinar with Bert and Mike Reed, I originally thought, Saturday morning. Okay, guys. You've been at this longer than I have. I was amazed at how many people showed up on a Saturday
I know. I
morning.
Was surprised, too. I mean, I'm getting up at 7:30 to do it, but it's okay. I'm up early anyway. I mean, I like to start my day that way, and I'm pretty fresh when I do it, so I'm excited to do it.
And it's an opportunity for people who work, you know, normal everyday jobs
exactly.
And can't be in a typical webinar at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. It actually gives them a chance to, you know, show up and hear what we
have their coffee, relax, listen a little bit, and then go on with their day.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, the link, guys, is in the chat room now. You can sign up today, and then you'll get a confirmation, and then you'll get a reminder, and then you'll get a link Saturday morning, and blah, blah. And it's free. Just come hang out with us. David, thanks. I hope you have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, everyone, too. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks,
Rob. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, unless somebody has any last minute questions, that's going to do it for us. We've been at this for 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 47 seconds, plus the 2 hour live trading room that we did earlier today. If you've not taken advantage of the free trial, why not? It actually is free. Usually you hear that free stuff and you go, oh yeah, right. But no, we don't require a credit card. You don't have to put a credit card on file, which, you know, if you don't cancel in 5 days, then we're going to charge you. That's not how we do the free trial. You just sign up. You go to cfrn.net/apply. You click the confirmation link in the email you receive. That starts the process. We send you another email that has the link to download the platform. And then you need to get busy installing the platform and getting the indicators installed and starting to get familiar with the platform and the setups. Bert is standing by toll-free at 866-928-3310. He'll be more than happy to help you with any hitches or glitches that you have in downloading and installing the platform and the indicators. Okay? If necessary, he'll launch a private go-to meeting with you to just kind of really, you know, visually walk you through what you need to do. But it's really all pretty self-explanatory and pretty easy. But if you're not real tech savvy, then it can get confusing. And so just call Bert. Great guy. He's not going to try to hard sell you on anything. He's just going to be incredibly helpful. In fact, he's going to be so helpful and so nice that you're going to hang up and go, I'm suspicious of that dude. He was too helpful. He was too nice. He was too friendly. Well, that's just who he is. That's his nature. Okay? And whether you're a client or not, you'll be treated with the same dignity and respect, not only by Bert and by Leslie, but by Michael, myself, Robin, David. You know, that's just kind of how we roll, you know. You've been around some places on the internet, and you've been in some trading rooms where there's a lot of egos flying about and often vulgar language and, oh gosh, you know, not stuff that would be considered G-rated. So we managed, comments out on iTunes reads, I really love the programming. Most days it manages to stay almost G-rated, so we do strive for that. And so take the free trial. It really is free. If you've thought about becoming a trader, you've made attempts at becoming a trader, maybe you bought a system, maybe you bought an indicator, maybe that didn't work out for you for whatever reason. Maybe not because it was a bad system or a bad indicator, but maybe you didn't apply yourself. So that's why we put the cart before the horse. I know you're supposed to put the horse before the cart, but we block the horse. We put the cart in front of the horse. We won't let the horse even get out of the gate until you show some initiative by downloading the platform, installing the indicators, getting familiar with what we do, asking intelligent questions, and then if you want to become a partner, you can. Okay, it's that simple. But we don't want to just sell you some thing that you're going to put up on the shelf and let gather dust with all of the other things you've bought over time because you really wanted to do something different for a living. Okay? It's no get-rich-quick scheme. There's no shortcut. If you become a partner, you, of course, are involved with us for 90 days in the live trading room, and you own the indicator set for life. And by the end of 90 days, you should be able to master the indicators so that you really never have to ask us any questions again, although we're always around to answer your questions. But 90 days is a time frame we've given that if you actively participate every day, show up to the partners' meetings every Thursday night, watch the 180 hours of training videos in the partners area. The end of 90 days, you're ready to just pull up your charts, get your indicators going, and put on and take off trades. You might want to come still do it with us as a group, and that's okay. If you decide to fly Han Solo, that's okay too. But we think 90 days is sufficient for you to get a handle on the indicators, what they're telling you, how to put them to good use. Okay? Are our partners continually coming up with new and different ways to use our indicators? They are. That's part of what the Thursday night partner meetings are about. It's being a community and sharing thoughts and ideas. But everything we do, it embraces the underlying rhythm of the market. On slow days and fast days, news days, no news days, political events, economic events, natural disasters, those things have an effect on the market. They cause it to run up and run down and do all sorts of things, but it doesn't change the underlying rhythm of the market. It may speed it up for a while, and it may slow it down to the slowest 8-day period in 62 years. But there's actually still trade opportunities in there. Now, in the live trading room every morning, we're working inside of a 2-hour window. So the last couple days, and as you saw in the recap today, I think we had a shot at one or two trades, legitimate trades that set up inside of that 2-hour time frame. But then, once the trading room was over and we went on break, have a look at what happened. We originally took this trade in the live trading room long, right here. And this thing ground for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. It took 180,000 contracts for us to finally get stopped out of this thing over a time period from 9:47 to 10:30, roughly, 10:20. That's a long trade intraday in the ES when you've got a two-point target. Okay? And a couple times it looked like it was going to break to the upside, but it never did. In fact, it gave a sell signal right here. The only caveat to that sell signal is that we were running right into a weekly trading zone. And so we have to give it the, you know, consideration that this could potentially be support, just like it was support over here. See up here, bumped up, pulled back into the zone. The zone served as support. Off it went. Okay. On the second trip back, it failed to hold a support. The bigger picture thing was hitting a 4.5-year high up here, okay, and the reaction off of that. So this trade, we might have had to skip because of the weekly zone, but the next valid short setup was right there. That price was... $14.19. Our system said sell $14.19 market if touched. If you sold $14.19 market if touched, price ultimately dropped to $14.12.50. Now, underneath this 21-22 zone, we had another zone at 14-18 slash 14-19. So as you can see, this pullback came right at the top of the zone. So maybe you're like, oh, I'm still kind of selling into a zone. Well, then this one might have made you a little more comfortable on this pullback. Okay. On this pullback, you're halfway through the zone. So now you're not selling into a zone, you're selling coming out of a zone, which we do. We'll sell and buy coming out of a zone, but not going into a zone. Okay. And so from here, call it 14.18. We had another zone down here at 14.15. And as you can see, there was 10, 20, 30, 40,000 candles, 50, 60, so 14, 15. So we kind of got a little sideways action there. Okay. And but it pressed through, and then it came back and offered up another sell signal there. And now we've got to see if it's going to break down through the MA1, the window of opportunity, and continue down and put in a new low. If it does, our next zone down, I'll show you on the hourly, down here at 14.10.11. So let me shrink this up. I'll leave it running hourly chart for you. We've touched and tested every zone so far. There's a test Sunday night of the zone, Monday morning, Monday afternoon, and then on Tuesday. Wait a minute. Though this whole day is Monday. There we go. Monday, we just walk this thing. Then Tuesday, overnight, we come up. We tag the zone right here. Takes 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 contracts to finally break through it. And then we get a big reversal pattern. Considering the size of candles that we've been dealing with, the average true range of an hourly candle over the past... in fact, let's just have a look. These two big candles from today, they're going to skew it a little bit once it pops up. Maybe it's not going to pop up. Let's try it again. Says I got it running. Where is it? No. It's not showing on my hourly chart. Well, you could try running it on yours. You get an idea. But look at these small candles. Then you get these two big guys. Okay, that really stands out. So we tested 21.22, came back, and on the way down, we just kind of swiped right through 18.19 like it wasn't there. We get down to 14.15. We've spent almost a full hour battling this area. Okay? Got 10 minutes left in the hour. The next stop down will be 14.10.11, which, as you can see, is not only the low back on Friday, but it's also the low on Monday, yesterday. Okay. So I'll leave this chart running. If you have any questions, send them on over, support@cfrn.net. If you want to take the free trial, go to cfrn.net/apply. If the system will not let you in because you've already taken a free trial, and maybe you didn't take full advantage of it, maybe you didn't get the platform downloaded, maybe you didn't get the indicators running, and you now see that that would have been a good idea, send me a short email to support@cfrn.net. And we'll see if we can hook you up with a second free trial. Okay? We ask that you not take advantage of that, repeatedly asking for free trials. But we know life gets busy and things happen. And so we want to be gracious in that manner without having to clamp down with some hardcore draconian rule about, you know, whatever. So... you know, if you're serious, you really want to download the platform, you really want to run the indicators, you really want to show up in the live trading room every day, you really want to set up, pay attention, ask questions, and ultimately learn how to trade. This isn't about I'm not trying to get a commitment out of you as to, do you want to become a partner? My question is simply, do you want to learn how to trade? Because if you really do, then you'll take full advantage of the free trial. You will download the platform. You will install the indicators. You'll bug the heck out of Bert, calling him on the toll-free number, asking him about this, asking him about that. In the live trading room in the mornings, you'll just be peppering us with questions. Hey, what about this? I've never seen that. What does that do? How come you didn't do this? What's going on? I want to know. Now, most people would think, man, they're about to get ticked off at that guy and boot him out. No, that's the guy we love. because that's the guy who is expressing genuine interest in learning how to trade. And that is the guy who most likely ends up becoming a CFRN partner. So, if you're that guy and you've already taken your free trial and you blew it off, email me, secondchance@cfrn.net. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And perhaps I should hit the right button. Fair enough. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.